I want to talk to you for a little while this evening, and I'm going to do my very, very best not to go as long as I did this morning. When I saw how long it was, I cringed. I try so much to keep the services within an hour, but I was a miserable failure at that this morning. So I'll do my best not to have that happen this evening. I want to talk this evening about the Christian's purpose. What is the Christian's purpose? As a Christian, what are my freedoms and what is my purpose in life? And does Jesus speak about any of this? Does he give anything to, does he have anything to say about these things? And we'll look at that, those three questions this evening, looking at the Christian's purpose. I want to take a look at the question about purpose first. You say, well, why did you do that? If it's number two in your list, why do you want to go to that first? Well, I guess I just get things a little mixed up and see if you can chase me a little bit. Look at the question about purpose first. As a Christian, what is my purpose in life? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that we are to seek God's kingdom. That verse says it this way, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We could stop right there because that's the point. Now he does go on to say that all these things shall be added unto you, which you'll need to go back into previous verses to understand what all these things would include. But when we're talking about the purpose in life, that Jesus is really narrowing it down for us to understand that our purpose is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Another thing that we should be doing is that we should be doing everything that we can to do the will of the Father, even as it's patterned by Christ himself. Now, Christ gives us different pictures of the pattern in his own life. He's got the same pattern of what he's doing when it comes to doing the will of the Father all through his ministry. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, if you know where that passage is, what that is talking about, his disciples had gone into town to get some food because apparently they were hungry. Jesus stayed outside the town at this well. This well that as we look back on, we realize that Jesus made a little bit of a detour out of his trajectory to get to where he was going. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And so he goes over here to Samaria and he meets somebody that needed him. Somebody that needed his interest and his focus and his message. And so when they came back, he was no longer physically hungry. He said, well, my meat, my sustenance, my strength, or my purpose is to do the will of the Father. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the author here, the writer here, tells us that there's something about doing this work. Let me read it to you. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. That I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. But he uses that that three-letter word there of joy. And he expresses in that that we too, as the pattern, should do the will of the Father with joy. Did you ever see somebody that's sad and downhearted? And you say in your heart when you see somebody sad, I want to be just like that person. Anybody want to say amen to that? No horns tonight for that one, huh? But you very well might say, well, there's somebody that is happy all the time, and you might want to say, I'd like to be that way. Finish the course with joy, that we do the will of the Father with joy. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul's speaking here, writing these words. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is the purpose of the Christian's life? That we press or pursue godliness, that we pursue the prize. It's so important for us to understand that it's not something that you just attain at some point and then you have arrived, but there's a pursuit, there is a process that is going on, there is a sojourn, as I mentioned this morning, there's a pilgrimage, there's a life to be lived, and in that life there is a pursuing godliness and a pursuing of the prize. The Hebrew writer said, follow peace or pursue peace and pursue holiness. That there's always that desire and that hunger to be what God wants us to be. Now here, as I look at this next point in this first question of the purpose of a Christian, I have a question to begin this particular thought, and that is, what percentage of effort should I put into this spiritual life? What percentage of interest or effort should I put into this? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You know this verse. You probably know this verse by heart. You don't even have to turn to it. When I start reading it, it'll click and you'll quote it with me. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, can you finish it in your cars? Do all to the glory of God. Does that answer that question of what percentage of effort? I think it does. I think it indicates for us that our effort in this purpose, in this life, is to give 100% effort to please God. Whether I eat, drink, whatsoever I do. Do you think then that God is saying, that Paul, under the divine inspiration, is saying that everything that we do, eat, drink, do, say, everything that you type, everything that you post, or whatever comes to your mind? You know, they didn't know about social media back in the day when this passage was written, but I think that if they did know, perhaps it would have found its way in there. But the indication is very clear that every single aspect of our life, every single facet of our life, every breath that we take is designed as a Christian to bring honor to God, to bring glory to His name. Everything that we do. The second question that I want to approach this evening is the first question that I gave at the beginning. What about my freedom? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, that all things are lawful for me. I can do anything I want. We better be careful with that kind of theology, as though that's exactly what Paul's saying. Because Paul isn't really saying that you and I are free to do anything I want in the base levels of life. He is saying that I can do anything, anything is lawful for me, but not everything is beneficial, not everything is expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Then he said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let me read those two verses in the English Standard. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Boy, we could spend a lot of time there, and I promised you that I wouldn't keep you as long as I did this morning. What about my freedoms? What about my freedoms? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Verse 29, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Why? Because everything I do for the glory of God. It's there, read it. That's what he's saying. Everything I do. So in other words, when it comes to my freedoms, my first point of freedom is that I must make sure that somebody else is not going to be spiritually offended. Now, we can't help offending some people. There's going to be some offenses. If you're living right, if you're living according to God's pattern and plan, and you are living a holy life, then there is going to be some offenses come. Everything I do for His glory. When I'm thinking about the other person, and that's what He says that we should be doing, our thoughts should be for that other person. You know, I can stop right here and just get a little transparent and admit to you tonight that that's probably one of the biggest issues that people have, and when I say people, I have to open up and say myself. It's easy for us to fail to look and see the need of somebody else or the circumstance of somebody else because we're overwhelmed with our own circumstances so many times. So when it comes to this thing of looking at the other person and focusing on the other individual, that we are thinking about the neighbor's needs, the neighbor's conscience, the neighbor's circumstances, I have to bring in to the subject this thing called kindness. What about kindness? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me change that wording a little bit. That it may minister grace unto the neighbors. Grieve not, the very next verse, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, yes, it's true. We can grieve him with our actions and or either way with our words. Not our actions towards him or our words towards him, but our actions and or our words towards our neighbor, to our fellow man. It can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How many times? I hate to even think about it. Sometimes I do think about it, and it's very, very depressing. It's very discouraging to think of how many times I've had to go back and do my best to make amends for this very thing, causing somebody, hurting the witness, hurting my influence, causing somebody to stumble because of my words or because of my actions. Verse 31 in Ephesians 4, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I think that was one of the first verses that my wife taught our children. I've accused her of teaching that verse to them for my benefit. I think sometimes I was right, because there's so many times that she would use that verse to me, or should I say at me. Oh, it didn't have to be harsh. It didn't have to be necessarily pointed, but just in a specific moment of time, in whatever was going on, she could just quietly quote the verse or have one of the kids quote the verse. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Jonathan, you might want to get these flags instead of that paper. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Do you get that? Are you hearing that message that Jesus is giving, or that God is giving to us at that point in this subject this evening about our neighbor? Finally, the third question, does Jesus have anything to say? Well, I've already given some things that Jesus has said, but I want to give some more things to what Jesus might be saying to us about this subject of our purpose. The first thing that I want to bring up of the things that Jesus would have to say to us is that he tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 35, he said, "There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Say, "Brother Ziegler, are you going to launch out there that we need to get out into the community and we need to be knocking on doors and we need to be shaking hands and or doing the elbow bump or something along that line and really, really be canvassing the world?" No, that's not my point tonight. Now, if that's what God's speaking to you about, then by all means, listen. My point tonight is that the field is white already to harvest. Take a look at the harvest field. My purpose is the kingdom of God. Am I doing anything or saying anything that hurts my witness in that harvest field? Am I saying something? Am I living in such a way that my witness or my influence is hurt or even destroyed because I have an opinion about something, because I have a right about something, that I have freedoms to do, but my purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Now, I know that some people will use, and some people do use this against us, because they know. They'll do everything they can to shut a person up, discourage a person. They'll say, oh, your action here, your words there, your thing here, you're just destroying. I don't have a thing to do with Christianity because of that. And sometimes we have to weigh that out. Sometimes they're just spouting off because of their own problem or something that is a hang up for them. I hesitate to bring it up, but it's a reality. It's a reality. People will use it against us. But it does give us some pause, or it holds a serious point for us to consider. Does my vitriol, does my venom, or my angst, my fist pounding, produce a good witness? Do I dislike someone, whether it's a politician, a law officer, a preacher, whoever? Do I so dislike someone that my language and my attitude lets others know that in my heart there is some malice or anger or hatred instead of kindness, forgiveness, and love for that person? I don't care how much they've wronged you. I don't care how important of a person they are. It doesn't matter if we are spewing out vitriol, angst, anger, bitterness, malice. If our words that we are sharing with others, you mean to tell me that I can never, is it laced with kindness? Is it forgiving? Is there still a love? You know, we can be pretty bold sometimes with a lot of things, but fail miserably when it comes to sharing forgiveness and love and kindness. And there's a very real point that it's in Scripture where He tells us that we are to be kind one to another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You see, Christ didn't just love us after we got saved or transformed or became a better person or a good person, but He loved us while we were yet sinners. While we still had the contamination and the stench of sin, He still embraces us. That's hard for humanity to do, but that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Does Jesus say anything more? Yes, He does. He does. Matthew chapter 7. Why beholdest thou, verse number 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote from out of your eye, but behold, the beam is in thine own eye? He said, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see... Or then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Did anybody notice that I skipped two words? I was reading someone's post on being kind recently. One of the thoughts that came to me of how easy it is for me to see the need of that in the life of someone else. You know, I can see how somebody else can see my splinter, but they can't see their big 4x4. They can see somebody else's splinter in their eye, but they fail to realize that there's a railroad tie in their eye. You know, it's so easy for me to overlook. It's easy for me to overlook some area of my own existence. My problem or my disagreement or my variance with someone, it's different. It's different from that I see in somebody else's existence. You see, when I'm the one that's inconvenienced, or I'm the one that's put out, or it's a different ballgame. But do you know what Jesus said in that passage? Do you know the two words that I overlooked as I read that? He doesn't just whitewash it a little bit. He puts out some very strong language for me to understand that he is serious about this. That he wants me to pay attention to me when it comes to this. That I'm supposed to be paying attention for the benefit of somebody else, but I need to be looking at myself when I'm talking about criticisms. Verse number 5, he said, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye." Oh, I could pause right here. Maybe I could break out into song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Hallelujah. He is, and he's probably still working on you too. Thank God he hasn't given up on us. He's still working on us. But the reality of it is, he calls it hypocrisy, and I dare say that there's not a single person here this evening that wants, or is listening, that wants to be considered a hypocrite. I think that I'm right about that, because I see so often when anybody talks about a hypocrite, it's very, very negatively. So what about the purpose of a Christian? It really boils down to that one verse that I've already given. But let me give it to you in the Amplified. "So then, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you may do, do all for the honor and glory of God." My purpose as a Christian, your purpose as a Christian is what? To bring honor and glory to God. And the only way that we can bring honor and glory to God is if that we are kind and tender-hearted, forgiving, loving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven and loved us. Not just looking at somebody else or pointing a finger at somebody else, but that I'm looking at myself to make sure that I'm kind, I'm tender-hearted, I'm forgiving, and I love people, even when they are ugly to me. Even when they are poles apart in opinions with me. Even when they do something to inconvenience me. Or they might even belittle me. God help us. God help me to be kind, loving, tender-hearted, and forgiving. And to do all for the glory and the honor of God. Praise God. Praise God. My prayer is that we all will take it to heart and let God speak to us individually. We will do all that we can. The harvest field is white. People do need Jesus. Let's do our best to share that witness, to share the grace of God to those that are around us by being kind. And it may not be that somebody is the recipient of unkind words from us, but they may hear or see or read those unkind words. And it creates that problem, that breakdown in the witness or the influence. Whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. Ask Brother Rick, if he would, to dismiss us in prayer this evening. Thank you all for being here. I think it's been a good day. I feel like it's been a good day. I hope it's been a good day for you as well. Praise God. Brother Rick, dismiss us, if you would.